You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
This song. This is the one I wanted to show you on Friday. Now, this song is the one I wanted to show you on Friday when I was drinking that Stella Artois. Okay? This is a song by an artist named Emilio Perez. Okay? It's called El Son. And I love this song, always have. This is the epitome of the type of song that would play in a smoky, kind of humid, sweaty, you're just beating up with your own sweat, but it's okay, it's sultry. You know, you got a cold, perspiring beer, a sweating bottle of beer right in front of you, and I'm not a big drinker, but something nice and cold and perspiring. And you're in this dark, smoky cantina or something an exotic, far-off land, or I don't know, who knows, Madrid, the countryside somewhere, and this is exactly what I wanted to capture. This is what I was trying to look for on Friday, but I could not find it, but I did my homework, and I found it again. Matt, you had something you want to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, the way you're describing, and the windows are rolled up, and the heat's turned up to a sultry.
To 82.
Not 82, so
it's sweaty and hot.
Then, and my head's thrusting into Donna.
And she does not like it. Then, a rap at the door, my son Gabriel is there. And Donna says, oh no, go. No, let the boy watch. He needs to learn.
What I learned.
From my father.
The way he learned.
But in either case, I had some thoughts here I wanted to get it by with you. The first things first, our band set the charge. We put out a couple of new songs last year, or actually earlier on this year. We have a whole album that's coming out soon. But this was brought to my attention by Gypsy. If you go to our song Yes and No, on YouTube, Gypsy just took a picture of the comment section. And he said, hey, take a look at the longest one. Matt, listen to this one. This is from a month ago. Okay, this is from, the comment is left by somebody named Emo Screamo Scene Girl. She goes, I love the band, I love the song, I love the video. Just curious, is your drummer actually into dudes? Because I got a friend that keeps telling me how cute he is. He's actually the reason I discovered you guys. So there you go. No, I'm not into dudes, but I'm also not afraid to slow dance with one. And that's exactly.
Either. I'm not afraid to suck a dude's dick.
Yeah, man. I mean,
you know?
There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing gay about it.
No.
It's just the internal. If you feel gay, remember, it's all about feeling these days. But I wanted to get onto something, especially since we started off with the. And let me go into the chat room real quick, say hello to everybody. Moonlit Matt's there, Nikki, Rumble and Roar, Frankie Castle, Prying Open the Third Eye. What's going on? That's a new one. I haven't seen that one. Sean is in the chat room. Mr. Sean Plunkett. Sean should be calling in sometime in the second half hour or something like that. Sean's going to be on the show, I think, Wednesday night. He'll be in studio. Tomorrow night, before we get started, tomorrow night we have a great guest, Dr. Cali Ares. And Dr. Ares is an addiction specialist. Her publicist actually got in touch with me and was trying to, book some press, and she actually got the publicist was in charge of another doctor too that I really want to get on the air.
Sanjay Gupta?
No. No, I really want to get on the air, but who knows where that goes. That one fell through, but we're going to have Dr. Cali Erez on with us tomorrow night. Then, of course, Sean Plunkett in the chat room is going to be in studio with us on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday night, big treat. Big treat on Thursday night. We've got Professor Lawson Bowling coming in, my history professor at Manhattanville College. He is he has tenured there 30 years of educating the students over there at Manhattanville College. The man is an endless well of information and sane, calm, cool, collected historical insight. It is. I cannot wait to have him back on the show. It's been a long time. And he actually, I wish I was a history major, not a history minor. He tried to get me to convert once, and I didn't do it. I should have done it. I should have majored in history, minored in literature, just for the fuck of it. Because everything I ended up doing after college, I didn't even need my my degree for anyway.
Usually people don't use their degrees.
A vast majority of people do not. So what's going on, everybody? I see you all in there. And got some things I want to talk about. Now, the first thing I wanted to bring up was I got really upset over the weekend, more so Sunday, because I had to start writing some stuff down and collecting my thoughts on Sunday. But on Sunday, I started feeling really, really screwed up. Okay? And what do I mean by that? Because every once in a while, especially on the weekends, I spend time away from social media. I'm not on Tumblr as much. I don't touch Twitter too much. I've been less and less on Facebook as it is. And who really cares? Facebook is just such a fucking tragedy, you know. But then again, so is MySpace toward the end. And all you do now is scroll through in Facebook, and it's nothing but fail videos and otters taking baths and people making veiled comments. Political comments going on and on about things they don't care to understand. It's not that people are incapable of understanding what they're trying to talk about. They do not care to understand. They're in it to win it for whatever the hell they've pledged their life and sacred honor to. But socialism keeps popping up, obviously, because that's the one thing that we have to keep fighting back against these days. Because, of course, the high school freshman bubblegum unicorns and rainbow idealists of the world that want to spread this type of shit to the world, they think it's the cure-all. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. But here's the thing that really gets me. I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. Sure, we can do all that. We can argue the facts and the historical impact of socialism as much as you want. You know, not only the historical impact, but the impact it's had on our species. Okay? Who's ever been able to achieve anything when its ambition has been set free? Okay? You want to talk about socialism and impact on economies and all that? Forget about that. Think about the morale, the impact on our species. Okay? You think about what, and that's why you talk about natural law a lot when we talk about our country, our history. Natural law pops up a lot because it talks about the freedom of the human being, the human mind, free thought, free action, free markets, you know, free association. Do what you want. The market regulates itself because you are setting free human ambition, human ingenuity, and the market always self-regulates, at least in the greatest way that it can. There's always going to be poverty. There's always going to be people at the bottom of the totem pole. That's just how it is. But the best way to have upward mobility is to let humans be humans and fight. Compete. Compete is the biggest thing. But, you know, aside from that, if you're a socialist on the internet, constantly plugging away about your grand vision of the future and how everything will be better off once we've melted down into some miserable, identityless soup of losers. Just simply shut the fuck up. I mean, I don't really even want to get into any kind of There's no real way to even say it anymore. Obviously, there's no getting through to anybody. So I just really want to say, shut the fuck up already. And stay out of everyone's business, seriously. You're the most intrusive, invasive bunch of lunatics. You're the house guests that never leave and always ask for second and third portions. That's what you are. The house guests that never leave, overstay your welcome, and just don't get it. Just don't get the hint. You're the Debbie Downer, popping balloons at birthday parties. That's what you are. Leave everybody else alone. Nobody's bothering you. You know your sworn opposition, those crazy minarchists, anarcho-capitalists, those conservative types? Not Republicans. Republicans are just the second left wing that we have in this country. Republicans is just an affiliate of the Democrat Party. So please, I'm talking about classical liberals. Not liberal in the sense of you want to apply liberalism in the way that the directions on the back of a stick of chapstick reads. Apply liberally. Put as much on as you want. No consequences. It's just petroleum jelly, kids. And it's not your petroleum jelly. That's the problem. So that's all I just want to say. It's just, leave everybody the fuck alone. With your insecurities and your friendlessness and your bullshit. You should be begging for less government so you can then go start a commune in the woods somewhere with your friends, eating from garbage dumpsters and growing cabbage. You think about what you really want. You want to get rid of the social constructs and all this. Then you should be with us. So you can go off and live in the woods somewhere in a teepee and not be hunted down by the Bureau of Land Management. You understand what I'm telling you? Probably not, because I'm saying it in a very, very confronting way, confrontational way right now. You know, I saw something else. And the other thing that really got me was there was this one kid that followed my non-political blog, the Stoned and Studying blog. And I saw it was just like something, something in socialism. That was their blog name. I said, you know what? Let me just see if this is just satire or if it's just really is what it is. Because even if it is, I'm not going to say anything. It's my non-political. I just want to put some nice, cool stuff to watch, to look through and read when it's, you know, late at night and you're a little bit stoned and all that. And no, it was real. This kid was a socialist and he just loved socialism. The first thing that was on his timeline was, you know, things, something like, I wish Americans can just see one day how socialize this and socialize that and medicine, free medicals, medicine, free medicine. And it killed me. It just killed me because I'm thinking, you better start searching for a cure to your ails in the sea. If you're somebody who thinks like this, you better start searching for the cure for all your ails in the sea, my friends. Okay, start taking your seaweed supplements and pray for the best. Okay, start sucking on tree roots and lather yourself up with homeopathic tinctures and all of that. Extract your own cannabis oils, which I actually would cure a lot of your ails. Because the world you envision is a fucking fantasy. And an outright lie. When drugs, medical devices, etc. are made, there are costs. There are costs for manufacturing. There is research and development. There's labor. There's legal. There's regulations which must be met. Further testing. And then the price setting to be able to recoup all of that so that the manufacturer, its labs, and its staff remain in business. Not to mention the time spent with the doctor, who must also be paid for their services. And you people somehow think that any sliver of that will be free? Matt, real quick, what?
I mean, that's just, I was going to let you finish, so you can go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, how you say that's why they have to socialize everything. And once that happens, just for example, they're coming out with this new cholesterol medicine. It's like the best cholesterol medicine that, if you have high cholesterol, I guess you can take. $13,000 a year, 9 to 11 million people qualify to get that paid for by taxpayers.
But you see, when government and our representatives in the Senate and the House and all these unelected officials and these heads of departments and all that, they've got friends. They've got friends in these drug manufacturing companies. They got friends in all these companies. They used to work there. I mean, for Christ's sake, Roy Blunt of Missouri was, you know, he wrote the Monsanto Protection Act. He was part of Monsanto. I mean, this is just how it works. So when you set prices, and when prices are high because everything else is high, and you know it's going to be subsidized by government, it's the same reason why school is completely unaffordable and nobody's getting anything out of it. Because the more money we give to kids to go to school, the more the colleges know they're going to get more for tuition. And it's not so much the colleges milking the taxpayers for whatever they want. It's just that when you're admitting more kids and more kids qualify to go to school to figure it out for 4 years, then school costs skyrocket. You need more teachers. You need to make more seats and classes available. You need more places for kids to dorm. You need more services to feed them. You need all of this stuff.
That's why it needs to be socialized. Someone needs to pay for it.
Exactly,
dude.
Exactly.
And you know what? Like, I don't even think that they mean to do it, but socialists, they're racist.
Completely racist.
Because in order to have
their socialist thing,
you have to get rid of illegal immigrants. And every other country that's socialist is probably, what, 98% white?
Closed societies?
No immigration?
Well, I mean, you look, there's socialist nations in South and Central America as well. It just depends on what...
Yeah, but
if you're a closed society, if you're trying to socialize services in a country, you need to establish borders and you need to close the society off just for sustainability purposes. Whether it be a Scandinavian country or Venezuela, it doesn't matter. But then again, the Scandinavian countries, they're a little bit more mixed than South American banana republics. But on to this other stuff. And here's one of the last things that I wanted to say with this, is that if you put all that together, you somehow think that any of that is going to be free, and you're not considering cost for any of it. So the price of none of that is affected by government subsidy. None of it. It's a market distortion. And then you go on about competitive marketplaces and private insurance companies, complaining about private insurance companies and all this other shit. It makes absolutely no sense. You have to tell me something first. What's competitive about the government charging everyone for their insurance, regardless of whether or not you use it, through force? So, and then you have to go and take care of your own insurance. Either you dump into the government dole, or you have to pay your fee for government-run services and then go get your own. So let me put it into another way. Let's say you're you're on Main Street, USA, and there's five restaurants. One of them is a Government Restaurant Incorporated, okay? Government Restaurant Incorporated. When you've told people that no matter where they want to eat that night, they first have to pay Government Restaurant Incorporated, doesn't it create a little bit of an unfair advantage? Wouldn't you say? You're talking about what's unfair? Well, this is the greatest unfair advantage there is, and it actually ends up hurting the people it's supposed to help in the end. You know that about 50% of the states now are saying that when enrollment time comes around, 50% of the states are going to have two or less options for insurance because of how many private insurers are leaving the marketplace. Aetna being, the most recent. That's ridiculous. And that's the final irony. Government destroys competition, which is the only way to introduce better ideas for diminished cost. But it creates the illusion that it's doing good because government has given itself the power to take money from those who produce and give it to those who don't through threat of force. And of course, you'll always be able to point to success stories, to people who have benefited. Because if there weren't a beneficiary class, there would be no votes to get in the next election. It's the only reason why it's being done. People don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about you. That's why we have a 10th Amendment. If your state of Rhode Island or North Dakota or Wyoming wants to socialize something, then the people, there's a referendum and people vote on it. And you can do so. And that is totally fine through our Constitution. But the problem is, we're being slowly taken over by a global front of politicians. Yeah, they wave different flags. Yeah, they all look different. Some of them have better tans than others. But this is a front across the entire globe. This globalist front where it is the same. It is the same in every country. That's why everybody thinks, well, maybe I'm not with the times. No. This has been a slow burn. A slow burn. And they've taken all of their sweet-ass time to get into the positions of power that they're in. And they're eroding away everything. From national identity to morale. And that's exactly what socialism kills. In socialist states, you name it. Morale dies. And also, the birth rate dies, too. Which I think is the next thing. The birth rate dies, too. So that's very interesting. And there you go. 7:23. Done with the opening monologue. Oh. So I'm going to put on the Skype now. You can start drinking. I didn't put the Skype on before. I want to start hearing what you guys have to say. Let's see who's with us. Think Squad is with us. What's going on, Bobby G? Scotty Milan has joined us. Scotty hosts the Wednesday night at 8 o'clock show, Being Human. I know a lot of you guys have very, very high opinions of Being Human. It is a great show. It's a show that we've needed on this network for a long time. I'm so happy that Scotty's with us, so check them out. Let me see here. Okay, so I have a bunch of other things to do here, actually. But and I want to make some announcements about Patreon, because I came up with something. Actually, I'll do that right now. Real quick. For the people, for Mintz, for Moonlit Matt, for Nikki, there was one or two other people that pledged $17.76 a month. I want to let you guys know something. You have to get onto the Patreon/ quite frankly right now. And if you've pledged $17.76, go and alter your, you have to go in there and rework your pledge to the show. Because I created something very special for people who want to pledge $17.76 a month. I created only 20 spots for it. And listen to this. Now, I created a $1, a $10, and there's a $5, but I do not have any idea for a $5 reward yet. That will come, okay? The $10 reward is a private Google Hangout as a group, and we can talk about the show. We can talk about whatever. We can get you guys pretty much become the production team with me, and we can talk about new ideas, all that stuff for the show. So that's if you pledge $10 a month to help grow this operation here, this nightly broadcast, and become part of the people that I pretty much work for. You know, and here's the next fair trade. Now, this was completely inspired by you guys who started pledging $17.76 a month. So symbolically, listen to this. I just added this today. This is the symbolic freedom package you're considering here. It was inspired by the viewers who began pledging $17.76 on their own accord. I was so moved that I needed to find something special to do for these people. So for $17.76 a month and limited to 20 people only, you're going to get all the rewards below. So that's the 10, the 5, and the 1. But you're also going to be getting a perk that will not be included in any other package but this one. And that is this. I will write you a handwritten letter every month. We will become pen pals. Okay, and we will correspond in the most classiest way ever. It'll be the best part. Okay, and the best part is that we will be using the United States Postal Service, which is actually one of the few functions of government that is actually accounted for in our Constitution. It sets up the Postal Service. It's actually in there. So it's a completely constitutional part of our existence here. That's the best part. And then finally, I said, we will become pen pals, just like Jefferson and Adams were at the end of their lives when they finally stopped hating each other. And that's what it is. So everybody that pledged 1776, please go into Patreon and rework it so that you just really become a patron of that, because I believe it asks for your shipping address, and you are going to get a handwritten letter from me every goddamn month. I don't know what I'll say. I can say anything. It might be perverse. It might be very, very cordial. I might write you a poem. I don't know. But we are going to become, we're going to start getting down to something that's a little bit more human. And there's nothing more exhilarating than writing a letter. I promise you this.
That's a good idea. If for any reason you ever can't write anyone, I'll fucking write them a letter.
Oh, yeah. Because I would like to analyze your handwriting from all the notes that are left in my car.
It's not me. Can't write script or cursive or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yeah, and Moonlit Matt, he already did it. He said, edit the pledge reward. Frankie Castle says, you can't buy my love, Frank. Well, in either case, I love you, Frankie. And I still got to get some, I want to get some, I know Frankie's a Marine. So is Scotty. Scotty's a Marine.
Fucking real Americans right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish Frankie Castle would call in. I know that Frankie Castle is one of those viewers that gets home quick and puts this show on his internet television. He's told me that before.
He's
in the chat room.
He's probably got a fucking bottle of whiskey right next to him, like a fucking true American.
He's probably
cigar.
You know what he is? He's probably Al Pacino from Scent of a Woman.
Oh, I'm in the dark over here.
I'm in the dark, Charlie. I'm in the dark. Hold on, let's go find that. I want to find that.
I can't see anything. I'm fucking blind.
Hold on a second.
The military did it.
Al Pacino, Scent of a Woman. This is Frankie Castle. Now I actually don't want Frankie Castle to call in because I want to believe that this is him now.
I'm in the fucking dark over here.
This is what he says. I'm going to blow my brains out. I hope if you guys have not seen Scent of a Woman, order it on Amazon Video tonight.
If you haven't seen Scent of a Woman, too bad for you.
Do it tonight. He's counting down.
3, 2.
He's blind, by the way.
Fuck
it. It's like Andy Garcia right there.
Staying right here.
I'll blow your fucking head off.
And do it. You want to do it? Do it. Let's go.
I'll kill you, kid.
Get out of here!
Well, you fucked up, all right? So what? So everybody does it. Get on with your life, would you?
What life? I got no life! I'm in the dark here. You understand? I'm in the dark.
It's a great movie.
Vision's like, well, you're not even looking at me.
He goes, I love it. I love it. He goes, have you ever buried your nose in a mountain of curls? When he describes women, oh, God, there's no... It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful movie. You got to watch that movie. If you have not seen it, please do it. It should be in everybody's repertoire. Nikki says, great movie. Al Pacino in Heat. He was great in Heat. You know, Think Squad, he brings up Heat. Heat is another one of those films that has a really, really iconic scene in that. Now, the rumor was that Al Pacino and Robert De Niro...
They don't like each other.
They don't like each other, and that diner scene... They did not shoot it in the same room.
No.
They didn't actually shoot it in the same diner booth. They just did their sides and it was edited together. I don't know if that's true, but I know they don't like each other.
It goes back to The Godfather.
But the other thing is that with Heat, that final gun battle, that gunfight in the street toward the end, is very, very unique in the fact that there's no music, there's no soundtrack behind the gunfight. Which is very, very odd. I noticed that when I watched that years ago. Because usually there's like, you know, this crescendo that's building. And you hear all this this music in the background that's pumping you up. You know, we were watching Saving Private Ryan on yesterday, I watched Saving Private Ryan for the first time in a long time, many years, all the way through. And I came to the realization, and I said this on Tumblr, on my blog, that we are living in a country right now that is being, that the country itself and our military and countries all around the world are being run by the likes of Corporal Upham. Okay? The sniveling, crying pansy who sat crying in the stairwell, frozen in fear, wanting to let the enemy go constantly, never having the balls to do what needed to be done, and just freezing up. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm not, you know, putting myself out there as some sort of a tough guy hero, but I'm saying that the Justin Trudeaus of the world, what President Obama has done to neuter the military, where our priorities are right now, watching all that go down with our naval officers in Iran, the level of pride that we have right now, and that's going on around the world. That's what's just going on in the streets of Europe right now. It's not just so much the militaries in Europe, but look at what morale, what's been done to the morale of the common, you know, man or woman in Europe. They've been deballed in the worst way, emotionally deballed, to not have any kind of pride or have any kind of sense of, you know, acting in self-defense or some kind of mindset of self-preservation, because they've been taught and they've been, you know, whipped into submission of thinking that everything that they're thinking in their heads is racist or xenophobic, the wrong way to live. It's really, really sick. Really, really sick. And that's what I saw. That's what I saw in Corporal Upham for the first time. I was like, God damn, this guy. Get the fuck up. You know?
Yeah, he's a coward.
It's just, I don't know. That really got me.
And then when he only just killed the one German, when he could have killed all of them?
He should have shot them all.
You know, actually, I didn't know, like, there's actually a specific concentration camp where the Americans got to. I can't remember the name of it, but they were so, everything they saw in there disgusted them so much that even after the Germans in there had already surrendered and had no guns on them or anything, they fucking slaughtered them.
I probably would have been part of it.
I would have ordered them slaughtered too.
I probably would have been part of it.
And their families.
That brings up something else. Listen to this. Where the hell is she? Joseph Goebbels, 105-year-old secretary. No one believes me now, but I knew nothing. Brunhild Palmsel worked at the heart of Nazi's propaganda machine. As a film about her life is released, she discusses her lack of remorse and the private side of her monstrous boss. This is from The Guardian. It was rare for us to see him in the morning, said Brunhild Palmsel, her eyes closed and chin in her hands as she recalled her former boss. He'd walk up the steps from his little palace near the Brandenburg Gate, on which his huge propaganda ministry was attached. He'd trip up the steps like a little duke through his library into his beautiful office on Unter den Linden. She smiles at the image, noting how elegant the furniture was, the carefree atmosphere where she sat in the antechamber of Joseph Goebbels' office with five other secretaries, how his nails were always neatly manicured. Well, psychopaths usually are very, very meticulous about their image. We always knew once he had arrived, but we didn't normally see him until he left his office, coming through the door that led directly into our room, so we could ask him any questions we had, or let him know who had called. Sometimes his children came to visit and were so excited to visit Daddy, the monster, at his work. They would come with the family, come with the family's lovely Airedale, and they were very polite and would curtsy and shake our hands. Can you really blame the family for the sins of the father? I'm asking. I don't know. What do you guys think? Palmsel is giving one of the first and last in-depth interviews of her life, at the age of 105 and having lost her sight last year. She says she's relieved that her days are numbered. In the little time that's left for me, and I hope it will be months rather than years, I just cling to the hope that the world doesn't turn upside down again as it did then. Though there have been some ghastly developments, haven't there? I'm relieved that I've never had any children that I have to worry about. So what is the motivation for effectively breaking her silence only now, as probably the last living survivor from the Nazi leadership's inner circle? It's absolutely not about clearing my conscience, she says. And there's a picture of her. Oh, wait, nope, my bad. It's not her. While she admits that she was at the heart of Nazi propaganda machine, with her tasks including messaging downward statistics about fallen soldiers, as well as exaggerating the number of rapes of German women by the Red Army, she describes it somewhat bizarrely as just another job. Yeah, there you go. Exaggerating the number of rapes. What does that sound like to you, 1 in 4? What does that sound like to you, 1 in 4? Oh, Goebbels is alive and well. He is alive and well. I know that Sean Plunkett knows in the chat room that Goebbels is alive and well. We are both listening. Sean, you're going to love him. Big time Michael Savage fan. And Alex Jones fan. He does a great Alex Jones impression. A German life compiled from 30 hours of conversation with her was recently released in the Munich Film Festival. It is the reason why she's willing to politely answer my questions. It is important for me when I watch the film to recognize that mirror image in which I can understand everything I've done wrong, she says. But really, I didn't do anything other than type in Goebbels' office. Often, end-of-life statements such as these are suffused with the sense of guilt, but Pomsel is unrepentant. There's more of this here. I'm going to put it in the chat room so you guys can read it. Yeah, you know what? Listen, you don't believe that there are these...
I don't think Hitler knew about the concentration camps.
What?
He didn't know. He wouldn't have done that.
He wouldn't have done that to those poor people. You fucking nuts.
Jesus Christ, 105.
105 years old. Guys, please call in now. It's 7:39. We have 20 minutes left of the hour. And I really, really want to get some of your voices on the record. It could be in relation to anything. We opened up talking about socialism because that's back in the news. It's never off the lips of people on the internet. The news is never ending. I did have Elizabeth Smart. I have this one thing here, Elizabeth Smart, talking about how she's on a campaign now against pornography because pornography made her hell even more of her living hell even worse, she said. Because her captor, who would habitually rape her, would be he was obsessed with porn. And he would spend hours and hours just combing through it. And then reenacting everything, making her watch it, reenacting everything that they were looking at in the porn, in the videos or the magazines or anything like that. And now she's out there. And I had made a comment last week about how, don't worry about it, every excuse under the book is going to be marched out there to take guns away from people and their right to self-defense and self-preservation and defending one's country and the resistance to tyranny in the name of the children. But we will, at the same time, you'll never see the end of pornography. It is done way too much. And you know what? I speak from personal experience. Firsthand, secondhand, you name it. There was a time I had to completely cut that shit out. Completely cut it out. You know, and it's not that far off in the past either. You know, so it does infect you in a way. It does. Now, am I telling anybody to get rid of it? Listen, you whatever you want to do, you go do. And in all stages in our country's development, because I usually talk from a stance in the United States, from an American type of point, from an American point of view, you've always been able to get porn if you know where to look. Just like prostitution is not going anywhere. I'm not a moral policeman over here, so don't get up in arms. But there is an effect that it has on people, on all people, in ways that you may not even think. Nobody's susceptible to it. And it lets down your guard, and it lets things in. Demoralization. Actually, pornography is a huge part of the KGB's demoralization programs. When we were listening to Yuri Bezmenov, the many times we've listened to that interview over the years doing this show, and many other shows. Remember, we've been broadcasting for 10 years. This is the second studio that we've built, 10 years. A lot of these conversations have come up many times.
See what Gadget Doc said?
What'd he say?
My great aunt was a girl in Nazi Germany, and she still sings Hitler's praises. He was a great man.
Really?
She's trying to get her to call on the show. Ask about Hitler.
She's still alive, Gadget Doc? Would she be willing to call into a show? I would not lambaste her at all.
She's
I would just
a little girl.
Well, yeah. Well, I would just like to ask some questions.
So I guess Gadget Doc is German. I thought he's Irish. He looked Irish to me.
He's probably a mix.
Well, first four, he's American. But yeah.
That would be something, though. Yeah, he says I don't think so. But I would love to have that interview. Just to ask a couple of questions, and I wouldn't put anything out there. I wouldn't try to convince anybody of thinking anything. I just want to ask some questions.
Dude, that's one thing I've never been able to talk to a World War II veteran that fought on the other side.
Really?
No.
I think that it would be enlightening to you. You may not. I mean, it won't probably change anything, but why not? Why not know both sides, dude?
Oh, well, I mean, what they were fighting for, they thought probably was the right thing, too. I mean, it definitely wasn't. I mean, the concentration camps and all that.
Well, listen. Look at the people right now. Look at the brown shirts and the brown shirts that we have running around the country right now. Okay, we've got the Red Guard here. We've got the Hitler's brown. So we've got the Hitler youth running around this country. They're campaigning for different things, but they're willing to cause violence. They're willing to crack somebody over the head and shoot people for something that has been sold to them for propaganda, for an image, for a movie that has been sold to them and propped up on television. We have it right now. So there is absolutely no way that you could ever deny that in Nazi Germany, a downtrodden people who were coming out of the other end of World War I and the reparations that were forced on them and the guilt and everything else that was forced on them through the Treaty of Versailles and the hyperinflation and all that, you're looking at a downtrodden group of people who were given a scapegoat, who were given a way out, who were given a promise of affluence again. I mean, there's probably plenty of people. I mean, you can't deny the way that it was sold and how people would have bought into it. People are buying into it right now. It's just wearing different masks. What's going on, Gadget Doc?
Nothing much. I just kind of wanted to tie into what you're talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so you know, have you ever heard of the Milgram study?
No.
Okay, the Milgram study it's kind of set the pace for you're not allowed to do human experimentation or psychological experimentation this way anymore. So the Milgram study was done after World War II to see how people would go ahead and follow a strong man, if you will. And basically they thought that they were giving electroshocks to a person, right? It was all bullshit, but they thought they were giving electroshocks to this person. And whenever a person got an answer wrong, they would turn up the electricity. And there was points where, you know, the guy in the other room, because they didn't see him, the guy in the other room was screaming bloody murder. And they kept doing it because the scientist, the doctor in the room said, "Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll take responsibility for it."
Wait a second. I've seen this recently.
Yeah, it's a very famous study. You can actually go on YouTube.
Where people start becoming a little bit more apprehensive about shocking the person, and yep. but still ultimately they still go through with it.
That's correct.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's called the Milgram Study.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I think it's M-I-L-G-R-A-M.
Wait a second. I'm adding. Oh wait, I can't add Sean to the call. Hey, is that all you wanted to say, Gadget Doc? Because I'd like to take a first time caller right now.
Yeah, take his call. If you need to call me back, you know how to get a hold of me.
Definitely, because after I get off the phone with Sean, I'm if I have any time left, because I don't know if our 8 o'clock show is on with us anymore. Is Three Drink Minimum up next?
I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
It's actually a Cigarello Anonymous.
When you come to New York, Gadget Doc, didn't you say you're going to come up here soon for something? For hey, Gypsy, business or something?
Well, there was an interview, yes, but that kind of fell through. But I definitely want to come up to New York, probably in the fall. We just got to see how things shake out.
Okay, we don't have the extra time that I thought. Three Drink Minimum is up next. So let me call Sean back, okay, and I'll try to get...
Call Sean. And if you need to get a hold of me, you know how to get a hold of me.
We'll
I'm
do,
in the chat room.
Will do, man. I mean, you got me excited for a second there. I thought that was a blunt that he was smoking. All right, let me call.
He's going to smoke when he comes up here.
Oh, hopefully. Hopefully. We have to have a New York City meetup again. And on the phone with us right now is first-time caller, good friend of the show. He'll be in here on Wednesday night. Mr. Sean Plunkett, how are you, my friend?
Not bad. What's going on, guys?
Dude, we're just chilling. What is on your mind? What's the first thing you want to jump into? We have about 8 minutes left of the show. I want to give you at least 4.
Oh, my God. 4 minutes. Damn. All right. Well, I think the first thing I want to definitely get into is – hold on 1 second. Give me 1 second. I haven't used Skype in a long time.
You're not
first thing I
want to
get into is Hillary's health.
Okay.
Hillary's health. There's an article on Infowars.com. Paul Joseph Watson says a top doctor concerns over Hillary's health, not a conspiracy theory. And I think that there's a gigantic cover up going on. And I think it's so blatant that we need to acknowledge it, because if we don't acknowledge it, it makes everyone in America a chump.
Dude, but look at what's going on right now. You got to lower the speaker so I don't bleed through. But look what's going on right now. You see all the denial that's going on the television, all the playing it down. I mean, obviously, the Rachel Maddows are off in full force and all that stuff. But this health thing has been, just like everything else, deflected away from and just beaten down. But you don't need to be a doctor to observe that something is weird. Go ahead.
Look, just the mere fact that there's almost no video. I mean, like, okay, there's maybe if you go on YouTube and you look up Hillary Health, there's a couple videos that are made by like bloggers and stuff. But as far as real time news video, there's maybe 3 to 6 minutes tops of Hillary's, you know, having those seizures. I don't know if you've seen the one. Remember that where the woman asks her about her vice presidential candidate
yes.
pick, and she goes, "You really have to try the vanilla chai. It's delicious." You know what I mean? And she's having that. She's literally, her head is like on a slinky.
Yeah, dude.
And she's absolute. I don't know if you've seen that, but if you haven't, go to YouTube and search Hillary Clinton seizure. She's lit, like, as soon as she gets asked a challenging question, she bugs. It's
totally. We've seen that. We've seen that when she kind of feels, when it looks like she's kind of taken off guard by people who are next to her and she feels a little shock. We also saw that those weird, over-exaggerated reactions of enthusiasm with the balloons coming down. But then again, you know, some people have said that if she croaks in office, this would be another de facto Bill Clinton presidency. I totally don't believe that. He looks like he's worse off than she is, dude.
Yeah, I mean, listen, hold on. Yeah, I agree. I heard you talking about that earlier. I have to say something now. The Constitution is in very bad shape as far as America goes right now. But I don't think it's in bad enough shape that we can deny the two-term maximum. I'm hoping because he really has maxed out his presidency. I mean, you know, there are debates about whether or not Hillary was like a half president with him. But either way, he served his 8 years. I mean, he can't. It's not constitutionally legal for him to do that. If anything, it's going to be Tim Kaine. And I've always been worried about. I mean, no, I can't say I've always been worried. I mean, here's the thing. I've never liked him. He's robotic. He's not a vice presidential candidate pick. I don't know. I mean, I don't see it personally. But now I'm worried about him because he's the de facto president if something happens to her. And it's worrying.
Oh, he's much more the de facto. He's de jure, man. He's the real in-law president if she goes down. But I don't see that that is really a thing here. This is a woman who is so grasping for control. And this whole thing that's come out with Huma and all of these emails, dude, these pay-for-play emails of pretty much her using the office of the Secretary of State to pretty much do deals is unbelievable. Using it as leverage to do deals, to not even to take millions of dollars into her funds and initiatives to be able to get presence with the Secretary of State. It's unbelievable to see what is unfolding, and nobody cares.
You're hitting the nail on the head. It really is out of control. It really is out of control. I mean, like, hold on 1 second. My Skype is bugging out.
You're coming through fine.
Okay. No, yeah, and I think one of the other, like, main concerns, too, is that as far as, like, I think Hillary Clinton, for some reason, I don't know why, but I also have this really sick feeling that if she gets elected, we're going to have even worse race relations, too. I think it's written in the cards. I think, like, especially with the email leaks revealing that the violence at the Trump rallies in Chicago was completely her doing. I mean, not her personally, but her operatives did it for the basis of her campaign. I mean, like, it just never ends. Like, it's like a never ending. And again, like, listen, I understand that people don't like Trump. You know, I really don't like Trump either. I think, you know, but at the same time, this is like a never end. It's like a freak show. It's like a never ending train of freak show events and occurrences. And it's like, we're supposed to look the other way. We're not supposed to acknowledge it. And we're supposed to cast a vote because the media trashes Donald Trump. I mean, I don't know.
It is definitely very disconcerting, man. And I can't wait to have you on the show on Wednesday, man. Thank you for the call tonight.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and I can't wait to come in on Wednesday, man.
Yeah,
see you soon.
I definitely wanted to get an introduction, but of course, anytime you want to call in, you don't need an invite. That goes for everybody in the chat room. Call in, call back, add things to what you have to say, whatever the hell you got to do. Thanks, dude.
All right, man. Take care. Talk to you later.
Good night. Okay, guys, so it's 7:54 p.m. We got about 3 minutes left before we got to get off. I want to lead with that experiment that Gadget Doc was talking about tomorrow. But we're going to have our guest, Dr. Callie Estes, call in at 7:15 tomorrow. So maybe we'll do it right after the bottom of the hour, the break there. I think this is a really, really good show. I felt good about this one. Matt, what do you think?
You should feel good about all of your shows.
Oh, thanks, dude. No, I actually regret many of the shows that I do. I'm being completely honest.
I regret every day of my life.
Well, that's good. It's good. It keeps you striving for more. But everybody, just one more time, because if I don't do it, nobody will. And I'm going to have to just suck it up and put it out on Facebook as well. This show has become something I never thought it would be. It was a once-a-week, one-hour show at one point. Actually, no, it was once-a-week, half-hour show, Wednesday nights. Then it became a Wednesday night, one-hour show. And then I said, you know what? We'll do two nights a week. Tuesday and Thursday, 7 o'clock. Now it is a five-nights-a-week show, Monday through Friday. If you're talking about general radio hours, an hour of straight talk without any breaks. Sometimes we don't even take breaks. It's a straight hour of talk. An hour and a half in terrestrial radio usually spans out for 3 hours. Okay? But we do it all in one chunk. And I do this because I love the conversations we're creating. I love the minds and the people and the blogs, the thinkers, the speakers that we have coming on. Everybody in the chat room has become a friend of the show, a colleague of the show. I really do hold you guys in high regard. And we haven't met our resistance yet, okay? Where there's going to be a tipping point where more people are turned on to this, and we're going to get the people calling in. They're going to be fighting back. They're going to be pushing back. Those days are coming. I can't wait for those days, because then we'll have a little bit of time, a little bit of opportunity to get to the people who are on the fence about what the hell's going on out there and what the real way to interpret the things around us or a more healthier way to interpret the things around us might be. Okay? There is no real way, I would have to say. But why do I say this? Because it takes a lot of time to put this together, to gather thoughts, to gather information, to book guests, and I still am a one-man show right now. Gadget Doc and a slew of others, Based Heisenberg, Red-Blooded America, a few other people, they help me out a lot. But it really is a one-man show in the most part, as far as the heavy lifting goes. And that's why I set up our Patreon. And if you please, go to patreon.com/quitefrankly, and if you really have fun tuning into this show either live or every night on the podcast, consider becoming a patron. You know, we're free market people, and I believe that this is a free market exchange. I'm giving you a product. I'm giving you time, which, of course, you can totally, you don't have to. I'm not going to make this a subscription pay-to-watch service ever. I want to be able to have conversations, but at the same time, it would make the operation a lot easier and a lot better. And you know what? I would love to make this a living. I really would love to make this a living because I feel completely in my element here. And I think that this is a major part of what I'm supposed to be doing outside of music and everything else that we do here. So if you like what we're doing, if you like the direction that we're going in and we're going to continue to head in, then please become a patron. We have a whole bunch of, I've made a whole bunch of rewards out there, a $1, a $5, a $10, and of course the Freedom Package, $17.76 a month, where you are going to get everything, all the perks below it, and a handwritten letter from me every month. We're going to become pen pals, just like Jefferson and Adams. So I'm going to put that in the chat room, and I'm going to leave you with that. And I'll plug this once or twice a show because I don't want to go the commercial route. You know, I'd rather work for you guys. And that'll make me feel good. So I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Great shows the entire week starting tomorrow. Then, of course, Wednesday, we got Plunkett in the studio with us and Matt. And, of course, Thursday, we're going to have the great Professor Lawson Bowling on. You want to talk about history? Thursday is going to be – it's going to hit the spot, man. Hit the spot. It's going to be like a cold Dr. Pepper, okay, at a barbecue. Talk to you guys soon. Coming up next, 3 drink minimum. I love these boys and girls. You guys have a good night. I'm going to leave you with some Quincy Jones.